Good Zion, Omid Bey's, the sixth line of the wide lines. Line begins, but hold on. We were talking yesterday about the different endings of brachas that are said at different times. For example, Gal Yisrael in davening versus Goyo Yisrael, or the other way around, Gal Yisrael in Kiddush Shema and Hallel versus Goyo Yisrael, Goyo Yisrael in Shemona Esrei, Asher Kedishonim Mitzvaysa versus Kadshenim Mitzvaysecha, etc. So here's another one. Omar Rava, Ashkachtina L'Sovei de Pumpedisa. I one time found the elders of Pumbedisa, that Rashbam quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that those are Rav Yehuda and Rav Eina. They were sitting and saying, the rule is like this. The Shabsa, on Shabbos, Bein B'Tzloisa, Bein B'Kiddusha, both in Shemina Esrei and in Kiddush, the Nusach is, you finish off the Baracha, Mekadesh HaShabbos. And B'Yom HaTova, on Yom Tov, Ben B'Tzloiso, Ben B'Kiddusha, whether in davening or whether in Kiddush, Mekadesh Yisroel V'Azmanim, the Nusach is that Hashem makes, that Mekadesh Yisroel V'Azmanim. Hashem makes holy the Jewish people and the Zmanim, which the Gemara explains in Beitzah, means that Hashem makes holy the Jewish people, and they in turn are the ones who are Mekadesh the Zmanim, because we have the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, by which we're Mekadesh the different Rosh Chodeshim and Yom Tovim throughout the year. So that was the distinction they were saying. And then, of course, if it's Shabbos, then he's saying Mekadesh Shabbos, Yisrael Vazmanim. So Rava says, I said to them, Adrabba, on the contrary, you should argue the distinction shouldn't be between Shabbos and Yom Tov. The distinction between should be between Kiddush and Shabbos. Ditzloisa, he argues, when it comes to davening, Bein B'Shabsa, Bein B'Yom Tova, whether on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, the Lashon should be Mekadesh Yisrael, that Hashem makes the Jewish people holy. B'kiddusha de Shabbos, Mekadesh HaShabbos, B'yematova, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim. Only in Kiddush should there be what you're saying, that you say Mekadesh HaShabbos or Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim, respectively. But in davening, it should always be, in davening, Rava is arguing, you should always be saying Mekadesh Yisrael. And he continues, V'ano Amina, time of didi, the time of didchu. I'll explain what my svara is, and I'll explain what your svara is, and then let's figure it out that way. Taima didchu, you're figuring like this. Shabbos dikviya v'kaima, the distinction is, you're just making a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov, not between davening and anything else. So you're figuring Shabbos is already, it's a kviya v'kaima, it's established and is already holy. So in other words, there's nobody needs to be Mekadesh it. Hashem was Mekadesh it the first time during Ma'is Bereishis, and it remains that way. So therefore, you're arguing Ben B'Tzloiso, Ben B'Kedusha, Mekadesh Shabbos. So therefore, you're arguing that you should always just say Mekadesh Shabbos on Shabbos. Yom Tova, when it comes to Yom Tov, the Yisrael Hu Dekavile, where it's the Jewish people that are Kaveya when Yom Tov is, Dekama Abri Yarchi V'Kavi L'Shoni, because they make Ibur HaChodesh, they determine when a month is 29 and when it's 30 days. They make leap years to determine when Nissan is. So therefore, you're figuring, so you should say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim. So that's your svara, says Rava. Taima didi. But now, what's my svara? Why do I say that we should distinguish between davening and everything else? Tzloisa de berabim issa. Davening, after all, takes place primarily berabim, in public, in shul. So because of the covered of the rabbim, Mekadesh Yisrael. Therefore, we should be saying Mekadesh Yisrael in honor of the Jewish people who were saying this line in davening in shul. Whereas Kiddush takes place only in private, so you don't have to honor the Jewish people in public over there. So therefore, B'Shabbos Mekadesh HaShabbos, B'Yom Tov Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim. So Rava says, that's my svara. It's not just good enough to distinguish between between Shabbos and Yom Tov. You also have to distinguish between davening and Kiddush, because davening is barabim and Kiddush is not. But the Gemara says v'loihi, that's not actually a correct svara, because tzloisa b'yochid mi lesa. After all, what do you mean? Is there no davening in private? It can happen a person davens Shemona Esrei on Shabbos or on Yom Tov in private. So why would you be saying Mekadesh Yisrael there? The Kedusha Barabim Lesse, and vice versa, does it never happen that you say Kiddush Benabim. You do. You say Kiddush and Shul, or we talked about earlier in the Perek about the old minhag to make Kiddush and Shul on Friday night, and even now you have many Kehillos that do it. And you also have, for example, by a Sheva Brachos or by other occasions like that, where you have Kiddush made in public with a minion around. So you do. So the Gemara is saying there's no reason to make that distinction that Rava is making between B'yachid and B'rabim, because the fact is, even though davening is usually B'rabim and Kiddush is usually B'yachid, but not necessarily. Okay. So the Gemara tells some cases. So V'Rava Saba Zilbos Iker. Now Rava's smarter was fine. Of course, Rava knew that davening can take place in private, and that Kiddush can take place in public. But Rava figured you go according to the Iker, and the Iker is that usually primarily davening is in public and Kiddush is in private. Okay, so the Gemara tells some cases. Ula Barav Nochis Kameder Rava. Ula Barav one time went down, meaning he was davening by the Amud in front of Rava. The expression Nochis is because you go down in front of the Amud. In many shuls in those days, they had the place where the chazan stands by the Amud was actually lower than the rest of the shul in order to symbolically be mekayim the idea of Mimamakim Krosicha Hashem. So because of that, the expression for going to daven by the Amud in the Gemara is always nochs. Anyway, so this Ula Barav went down as a chazan in front of a Rava, Omer Kesavet de Pompadisa, and he said the nusach like Kesavet de Pompadisa, that it was in davening, of course, and instead of saying Mekadosh HaShabbos, like Rava says, he said, instead of saying Mekadosh Yisroel, like Rava says, he said Mekadosh HaShabbos, or Mekadosh Yisroel Vazmanim, V'loy Omalei V'loy Midi. And Rava didn't say anything, didn't comment to him. Alma Hoder Bey Rava. So we see that Rava changed his mind. Another example, Rav Nosson, Avorder of Huna Breder Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson, who was the father of Rav Huna Breder Rav Nosson. Now, on the face of it, there's no need to mention, if we're saying Rav Huna is the son of Rav Nosson, then there's no reason to, if we're saying Rav Nosson, the father of Rav Huna, we don't have to continue Braided of Nussin. So in fact, some of the Mephoshim take that out. But an explanation, and Mesoros Hashas refers to an explanation that he has earlier in the Masechta, which is basically Rav Huna bar Nosson. He was the Reish Galusa in the times of Rav Ashi. He himself was a distinguished Talmud Chacham, so he was better known by his father's name. Instead of being known as just plain Rav Huna, he was generally known as Rav Huna bar Nosson. So therefore, like the Gemara is mentioning here, his father, but like it introduces him as the father of Rav Huna bar Rav Nosson, even though that sounds repetitious, because that way we first think of, when we think of Rav Huna Breder Rav Nosson, we think of him as Rav Huna Breder Rav Nosson. Okay, whatever the case. Anyway, so this Rav Nosson, actually earlier Masoros Hashas just says you should take it out, but there are some Mephoshim who say based on what I just said. Okay, anyway, so this Rav Nosson, Nochis Kameh de Rapapa, he was davening by the Amud in front of Rapapa, Omer Kesavet de Pumbedissa, he said, like the Sovet de Pumbedissa, Mekadosh HaShabbos, or Mekadosh Yisroel Vazmanim, V'shamchei Rapapa, and Rapapa praised him that he did the right thing. Omer Ravina, so Ravina says, Anor Iklal Surah Kameh de Maremer, I one time visited Surah, and I was in front of Maremer, the Nochis Kamei Shluchah de Tzibura, a Chazan, a Shliach Tzibur, went to Davin by the Yomur, the Omer Kesavet de Pupadisa. He was saying Mekadosh HaShabbos or Mekadosh Yisroel Vazmanim, like the Sovet de Pupadisa, Bahavu Meshatki like Kula Alma, and everybody was shushing him because they were saying he should say like Rava. Omalahu, so Marema tells them, Shavkuhu, leave him alone, Hilchsa Kesavet de Pupadisa, the Halacha is like the Sovet de Pupadisa, Veloy Havu Meshatkile, and then they stopped quieting him down and let him continue davening. And in fact, on the side there's a girsa, the hilchsa kesavet de pumbedisa. The bottom line is the halacha is like them, so we don't say mekadosh yisroel both in davening and in kiddush. We say the same nusach on Shabbos, and we say the same nusach on Yom Tov. Always mekadosh Shabbos on Shabbos and mekadosh yisroel vazmanim on Yom Tov. And then of course if it's a weekday, if it's a Shabbos Yom Tov, then mekadosh Shabbos yisroel vazmanim. Mishnah says, "Mozgu loy kos shlishi." They pour for him the third cup. Now we're up to the third. Now we're up to the next part of the Haggadah of the Seder. So they pour for him the third cup. Mevorach al mazono, and he makes and he says birchas hamazon over that cup. Then revii, then they pour him a fourth cup. Gomer all of us halal. Then he finishes off halal. So like this, we said before that you had according to Beis Shammai one perek of halal, and according to Beis Hillel two perekim of halal before at the end of Magid. Now you finish off the rest from Betzeis Yisrael according to Beis Shammai, or from Lloyd Lano according to Beis Hillel, which of course we do like Beis Hillel. So you finish that off over the fourth cup. And you also say over that fourth cup, birkas hashir, which a certain bracha, which the Gemara is going to identify for us what bracha that is. So the Mishnah continues, Beina koisis halolu, between these cups, if he wants to drink during that time, if he wants to drink even wine, then he's allowed to. But he's not allowed to drink between the third and the fourth cup. So as far as when we say Bein HaKoses HaLolu, the Rashbam explains that it means between the first two and the last two. Now, the implication is, according to the Rashbam, that you would not be allowed to drink extra between the first and the second cups. So it turns out that that's not so simple. On the one hand, So between the third and fourth cups, the Mishnah is clearly telling us you can't drink. Between the first and second, there is an argument that some Rishonim make that Adrabah, you should be allowed to, because we learned earlier in the Perek, that drinking wine rouses your appetite. So maybe therefore you could drink more. First of all, of course, if you're thirsty, you should be allowed to. But second of all, also, maybe it would be good to drink between the first and second cups in order to rouse your appetite for matzah and maror. On the other hand, the problem is if you drink too much at that point, then you may get drunk and not be able to complete the seder properly. There's also an issue mentions in Shulchan Aruch that if you there are different poskim who talk about which cups do you make a bracha on. Is it only the first one for Kiddush and the third one for Birkas HaMazon, or do you also say on the second and the fourth ones, which is our minhag? Now, what would happen if a person drinks the cup of Kiddush, not having in mind that he's going to drink more wine? Later on, he decides he wants to drink another cup of wine between Kiddush and the second kos. Then the problem is he's going to have to make a bracha on it. Then it looks like he's moisif ala kosis, like he's adding to the four cups that the chachamim were misakin. So the bottom line is that you are you are actually allowed to drink up until you get to the end of that. There are some of the poskim also who argue that once you start magid, you shouldn't be drinking anyway. So the Alter Rebbe and Shulchan Aruch summarizes it and says that la halacha, you are allowed to drink between the first and second kosis, but it shouldn't be wine if you can help it, because then you're going to have to make another bracha on it, and you have the problem. And if you have to make another bracha, then you're moisif ala kosis. But you can drink, and it really, you shouldn't be drinking at all. There's no particular reason to. But if you're thirsty and you need it, then you can drink other drinks. Then you can drink other drinks between the first and the second. Between the second and the third, you're allowed to drink whatever you want, because by that point you've completed the main part of the Haggadah. And also the Yerushalmi points out, and Tosfos brings it over here, that Tosfos brings something else from the Yerushalmi, whatever. The Yerushalmi mentions that wine during the meal doesn't usually make you drunk, doesn't usually have such an effect on you. So therefore, you can drink cups of wine if you want during Shulchan Aruch and not have a problem, because that won't make you as drunk. But after that, so we're saying ben shlichi l'ruvi lo yishta. So one point is that Tosfos says, because one reason is because you might get drunk and then you're not going to be able to say halal properly. Another point that Tosfos mentions is that because you don't want to take away the taste of the matzah of the afikoman, you ate the afikoman, now you're going to be benching and finishing off the seder. If you drink other drinks, then you're going to take away the taste of the matzah of the afikoman. So we'll discuss that more in connection with Ein Maftir Nachra Pesach Afikoman, Bez Hashem, and we'll talk about the dinim as far as eating and drinking after the Afikoman, what you're allowed to. But Tosfos says, at least based on that, it would mean you'd be allowed to drink wine afterwards, because that there you're not going to have, yeah, not wine, water, because there you're not going to have either problem. It's not going to make you drunk, and it's not going to take away the taste of matzah. So technically, you are allowed to drink water after the Afikoman, although our minhag is not to do that either. Okay. By the way, Tosfos brings a girsa over here that mentions a kois chamishi, that mentions that you have a fifth cup that you finish off halal, that you finish off halal agadol over it. So the Rambam also writes that if you want to drink a fifth cup, then you could, because after all, there were five lashonas of geula. We usually talk about the four cups, so keneged voitzesi v'itzalti v'gaalti v'lakachti. But the fact is, there is vehevesi as well. So there are rishonim who had the girsa that you have five cups, and the Rambam says you could drink a fifth cup in connection with halal agadol if you want. What, that's one reason why we have a kos shel Eliyahu, since Eliyahu is going to. Is going to solve Tishbi Yataritz Kushis Vibayas, that he's going to solve all of the outstanding machlokas in halacha. So this is going to be one of them. And therefore, so we bring a fifth cup in honor of Eliyahu, who then he's going to determine whether we tack and need a fifth cup or not. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Chanan l'Rava. So Rav Chanan asks Rava, this that we're saying that the third kois needs to be overbenching, shmamina birkas amazin to una kois, does that mean that necessarily you have to bench over a cup of wine, which is a machlokas in a number of places in brachas? The Rashbam points out that between the cups, actually, sorry, I said it wrongly. The Rashbam actually does say clearly that if you want to drink between the first and second cups, you could. It's only between the third and fourth cups that you can't. But there are other Rishonim, as I said, who learn that you shouldn't, that maybe there are other Rishonim who say that you shouldn't, because again, you don't want him to get drunk and not be able to say this and not be able to say the Haggadah, or you don't want to be adding to the Kosis. And the counter argument is that Adraba, drinking wine at that point will help stimulate your appetite. There is, by the way, the Yerushalmi in this connection ties together this thing about the third and the fourth Kosis that you can't drink between them with the fact that when it comes to the Dalad Parshias, you never interrupt between Parshas Parah and Parshas Achodesh. You always have them on Shabbosim back to back. There's a sicha in Chelek Lamed Vav where the Rebbe talks about the deeper connection between these two things. One of them, the point is that the Parshas Parah and the third kos represent the avoda of the Balei Tshuva, and Parshas Achodesh and the fourth cup represent the avoda of the tzaddikim, and therefore it's showing that there's no separation. There's no separation between those. One leads directly into the other. In the sicha that the one in Chelek Lamed Vav is taken from, the sicha of Achon Trapesach of Dalad, the Rebbe also talked about that the third cup represents Maisa, because you're saying it in connection with benching that you just ate, and the fourth one is not Maisa, well, in connection with Avoda Gashmis, because you just ate physical food, now you're benching on it, and the fourth one has to do with Avoda Ruchnis, because you're talking about Yemosa Mashiach, and therefore the message is also that there can't be a separation between those. Avoda Gashmis and Avoda Ruchnis have to be tied together. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Chanan l'Rav, shmamina birkas hamazon t'una kois." From our Mishnah, does it mean that necessarily birkas hamazon requires a cup of wine? Now, in Masechta Brachos, the Gemara discusses that point, and it says that it doesn't mention anything specifically about it requiring a kois. Earlier in our perek, when we discussed about we discussed the braisa from which we learned eight dinim, and one of them was that birkas hamazon t'una kois, but it didn't say so explicitly. Now we seem to have our Mishnah seems to be saying explicitly that you have to bench over a kois. Amalei, so Rava tells him not necessarily is that a proof. Arba kasi tikna rabbanon derech cheros. The Chachamim made a takana that we should drink four koses derech cheros on Pesach night to show that we're free people. Therefore, the Chachamim figured kol chad v'chad neved be mitzvah. We might as well do a mitzvah with each one rather than just drinking it without a particular purpose, just as part of the dalad koses. So therefore, yes, once the Chachamim were misakin four koses, and the fact is there definitely is a mitzvah to say. To say birkas hamazon over a cup of wine, it just may not be required, then the Chachamim set up that the third one should be over benching. But not necessarily does that show that in general you have to bench over a cup of wine. We said in the Mishnah Revi, Gomer Olos Ahalal V'Omer Ol Birkas Ashir, that the fourth cup, you finish halal and you say on it birkas ashir. So my birkas ashir, what is this bracha? Rav Yehuda Omer Yalal Lucha Asher Lekeinu. This is the bracha that we usually say at the end of Hallel, which begins Yehalalocha. Rabbi Yechanan Omer Nishmas Kochai. Rabbi Yechanan says it's Nishmas that we say on Shabbos morning. So the Rashbam explains that Rabbi Yochanan is not disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda and saying not Yahalalocha, he's adding to him. He's saying, listen, Yahalalocha, whenever you say halal, you say Yahalalocha afterwards. So therefore, obviously, so therefore, if the Mishnah is telling us that you have to say Birkas Hashir, it can't mean Yahalalocha only, because that you would just say as a regular thing together with halal. Rather, it must be something else. It must be some other paragraph that you say, and we call it Birkas Hashir for a couple of reasons. One of them being because Tosfos says it's called Birkas Hashir because on Shabbos we say it after Pesukah de Zimra, so it's the bracha at the end of all the shiros of Pesukah de Zimra. So therefore, so Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you would have to say both of them. So Tosfos discusses that like this. Now you have, there are different places, the Mishnah mentions in Sukkah, and we're going to learn it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that there are different places where they had different minhagim, whether you say a bracha after halal or not throughout the year. But here you definitely have to say Yahalalocha. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you also have to say Nishmas. So now how do you slot the two of them together? So Tosfos mentions one possibility, that you don't end off the bracha Yahalalocha, you finish Kima Olam Vad Olam Atakel, then you continue with the rest, and then you continue Nishmas, and you finish off with Tishtabach. Because the Lashon Birkas Hashir, he says, is mashma that you say only one bracha, not two. So that way of doing it is our minhag, where we don't finish Yahalalocha, and then later on, we say Nishmas and finish it with the bracha of Yishtabach. There's a couple of other minhagim, a couple of other nuschos. One of them is that after Halal, after they finish the words of Halal, they don't do Yahalalocha at that point. They immediately start Halal HaGadol, Hodu Lashem Kitov. Then afterwards comes Nishmas. Then after that comes, and they finish off, and then they go until Yishtabach. They don't say the final bracha of Yishtabach. They stop over there by and then they finish off with Yahalalocha and the bracha after that. And there's another variation where they say Yahalalocha, and where they say Yahalalocha in between. So then you have what we do, which is we say Yahalalocha in between, but we don't finish it with the bracha, and then later on we finish Yishtabach. And there's a couple of other variations of what they do. There's another variation that they finish Yishtabach towards the end, they say Yishtabach with its bracha, and then they say Yahalalocha without its bracha. So different possibilities. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa. Revi Gomer Olav Sahalo, the fourth cup, you finish Halal over it. And again, there is a Girsa Kois Chamishi. The Rif has this Girsa, the Rosh, etc., have this Girsa that the fifth cup you finish Halal on, which again, because of this machlokas of whether you need four or five cups, is one reason why we have Kois Shalal Yahu. V'omer Halal HaGadol, and you say Halal HaGadol, Divrei Reb Tarfon, V'yesh Omim, some say that instead of Halal HaGadol, you say Hashem Roi Lo Yechser. Because the point is that the point is Halal HaGadol, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, talks about the greatness that Hashem gives food to everybody. Noisim Lachem Chabaser, Mizmor LaDavid Hashem Roi Lo Yechser also talks about that. So therefore, it's an appropriate conclusion after benching and thanking Hashem for our food. Okay, Mehechan Halal HaGadol. Where does Halal HaGadol begin? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mehodu Ad Naris Bavel. It begins with Hodu Lashem Kitov, Kapitel Kuf Lamed Vav, and finishes off with Al Naris Bavel, means Ad Vad Ad Veloy Ad Bechlam, means not including the words Al Naris Bavel itself. Of course, it means till the end of that capital, until Hodu Lokei Lashemoyim Kilo Elam Chastov, which is what we do. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Mishira Malas Ad Naris Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan says it starts a little bit earlier. It starts by the beginning of Kapitel Kuf Lamed Dalet. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, you say Kapitel Kuf Lamed Dalet, Shira Malas Yene Baruch Was Hashem, and Kuf Lamed Hey, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hashem Hashem, and Kuf Lamed Vav. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Achaba Yaakov Omer Miki Yaakov Bacha Loiko Ad Naris Bavel. Rabbi Achaba Yaakov says in between, you start from Ki Yaakov Bacha Loiko, which is in the middle of Kapitel Kuf Lamed Hey. Yesterday we talked about what Tosfos says, that the possibility that maybe Kapitel Kuf Lamed Hey really begins Hallelujah Kitov Hashem which is, we have it as Pasuk Gimel of that Perek. Sort of Achav Yaakov may actually mean that. He may mean from that Pasuk, Hallelujah, Kitov Hashem, and then continuing to Kuf Lamed Vav. So on Pesach night, we only say Kuf Lamed Vav, but in Shabbos morning davening, we do say Kuf Lamed Hey as well, which maybe is like what Rabbi Achav Yaakov is saying. Tosfos, by the way, says a funny thing over here. Tosfos says, you should know the Pasuk Rananu Tzadikim Hashem is not part of that Mizmer. Now, why does Tosfos need to point that out? The reason is because in Nusach Ashkenaz, they say that they say Halal HaGadol, Shabbos morning davening. They finish Hodu L'Kei L'Shamayim Ki Lo'olam Chastoy. Then right after that, they say the Kapitol Rananu Tzadikim Hashem. We also say it Shabbos morning, but we say it earlier in davening. So they say it right afterwards. And apparently in Tosfos' times, he had some Sidurim. These are still handwritten Sidurim because Tosfos lived a couple hundred years before printing, where they put Ranu Tzadikim Hashem continuously with Halal HaGadol. So Tosfos needs to point out that you should know it's not actually part of that capital. So it's a whole different capital to them. Okay. So continues the Gemara. V'lama nikra shmoi Halal HaGadol. Now, why is this kapitel called Halal HaGadol? Amar Rabbi Yechonon, p'nei she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoshev b'rumei shel olam, because it talks about how Hashem sits in the heights of the world, u'machalek mezonos l'chol bria, and gives out individually food to every creature. Noisen lechem l'chol basar. So this is a great thing, therefore it's called Halal HaGadol. Interesting point. You know, you have many things that are mentioned in that capital. Why are we singling out that one? Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch has an interesting point about it. He says, you know, you look at each of the other things it says in the capital, they're all, it's one, like one continuous sentence. Hodu L'Hashem Kitov Kilalim Chastoy, after you have the first couple of psukim, Hodu L'Elokei Elokim Kilalim Chastoy, Hodu L'Adonai Adonim Kilalim Chastoy, after that, all the other psukim are a continuous statement. That Hashem does all these things constantly, and that Hashem does each of these things individually for us. Then all of a sudden, it's all like one continuous sentence. Then all of a sudden, you have noisin lechem l'chol basar. It's not le noisin lechem l'chol basar. It's like a new statement that you should know. Hashem is noisin lechem l'chol basar. So therefore, like that one is kind of, the Gemara is saying, therefore, that one is kind of the heart of the capital. Like that one is the first independent statement about something that Hashem does, not a continuation, praise Hashem who does such and such, but rather a new statement, Hashem does such and such. Therefore, we're focusing on that. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Hani Esrim v'shisha hoidu k'neged mi. We have 26 times in that capital, 26 psukim, each of which The capital starts Hoidu L'Hashem Kitov, and each one ends with Ki Lo'olam Chastoy. So what do the 26 psukim correspond to? K'neged Chafav Doris Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamai. It corresponds to the 26 generations that Hashem created in the world, V'lo Nasan Lehem Torah, where he hadn't given them the Torah, because Moshe is the 26th generation from Adam Rishon, V'zonos and B'chastoy, so he still sustained them during that time with his kindness, even though they weren't deserving of it yet because they hadn't received the Torah. Marsha actually mentions, if you look at the breakdown of those 26 generations, it actually, so like this, in our Siddur, we have, after the 10th Pasuk, you have the letter Yud, and at 5 Pasukim later, you have the Hey, and so forth, where the idea is, Al Pi the Arizal, that you're supposed to be Mechaven during the first 10 Pasukim, you're supposed to be Mechaven on the Shem Yud, on the letter Yud of Shem Avaya, and the next 5 on the letter Hey, etc. So Marsha points out, you can find, those are kind of inflection points. You have Noyach is the 10th generation after Adam Rishon. 5 generations later is Peleg, when they started splitting up. The Kibi Yom of Niflagah Oretz, you have the Tower of Bavel in the last year of his life. They're trying to separate the Yud Kei from the Vav Kei to that of course shouldn't be in the world. Then you have 5 generations later comes Avraham Avinu, and 6 generations after him is Moshe Avinu. So that represents, in a certain way, it's not just 26 in general, but it actually represents the breakdown of the 4 letters of Shem Avai. Okay. Amar Rav Chista, my dichtiv hoidu l'Hashem kitoiv. What is this expression? Praise Hashem, or thank Hashem, for he is good. What is the kitoiv adding? It means hoidu l'Hashem shegoyve chayvasa shal adam b'teivasa. It means thank Hashem that when he does have to take away something from a person, when he has to collect his debt from a person, he does it in the best, he does it using the goodness that he gave the person. So in other words, we teach the pasuk, Hodul Hashem, thank Hashem, ki tov, ki la'olam chastoy, because the chesed that he does for the world, he accomplishes through ki tov by taking away the good that he did for him, rather than, in other words, having to actually punish him. Hashem can just take away something good that he gave him. For example, Oshir B'shoroi, a rich person has an ox and Hashem makes the ox die and that way or get stolen or whatever, and that way it's mechaper for him. Instead of having to have Yisurim or whatever on his body, he's able to just suffer it, a loss of his possessions. Thus, Oni B'shoroi, a poor person has his sheep and Hashem will take that away. Yosem B'beit Sosoi, an orphan will have an egg and Hashem will make that the egg breaks or whatever. Almana b'tarnagelta, and a widow may have only a chicken and Hashem makes the chicken die. But in other words, the point is that's much better than that they themselves should have to. There's a famous story in the Medrash actually involving Rabbi Shur ben Levi and Eliyahu HaNavi, where Rabbi Shur ben Levi one time asks Eliyahu to let him go around with him and see how he does things in the world. And Eliyahu tells him, don't, because you're going to end up having a lot of questions and I'm not going to answer them. But anyway, Rabbi Shur ben Levi prevails on him, so he goes. In one place, they have they stay by this poor couple overnight, and they're very poor, but they're machnes orach in the best possible way. And the next morning, Rabbi Shur ben Levi overhears Eliyahu HaNavi davening that their cow should die. And he can't understand. They were just such generous machnes orachim. You're davening that they should have such a loss. And then Eliyahu HaNavi tells him again, don't start asking questions, otherwise you're going to have to leave me. Eventually, after a few more incidents where Rabbi Shur ben Levi doesn't understand what Eliyahu is asking, he finally says, you know what, I can't stand it anymore. You got to explain to me. And Rabbi Shur ben Levi Eliyahu HaNavi explains to him one by one. And this one with the poor couple, he says, I knew min hashamayim that the woman of the household was, there was a gzeira min hashamayim that she was going to die. So like this, I asked Hashem that instead the cow should die, and that way her life should be spared. That's similar to our Gemara over here, that Hashem causes that a person's animal or a person's possession or whatever gets lost, but at least that way they themselves are spared. That's the key tov, that's the good, when Hashem has to punish a person, he does it b'tevasa, using the good thing that he himself gave. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yechanan, koshin min zanoisev shal adam kiflayim ki yeleida. We're talking about the fact that noisim lechem b'chabasa, that Hashem gives food to all creatures. You should know that a person's mezonos, that a person makes a living, is twice as difficult as giving birth. You know, the man, in a way, has it harder than the woman. Because by a woman who gives birth, Hashem tells Chava be'etzev tel dibonim, in pain you will give birth to children. But when it comes to earning a living, a few psukim later, Hashem tells Adam that you're going to get it be'itzav voin. And the vav nun intensifies it, implying like a double etzev. So it's twice as difficult. Also, the mezonos of a person are more difficult than the geula. When we say more difficult, we don't mean obviously for Hashem nothing is difficult. What we mean, in other words, like geula involves a geula, when a person is saved from his troubles, often involves that Hashem has to go and rearrange the laws of nature in order for a person to be saved on an individual level, much less on a communal level, when you have the Jewish people as a whole are saved, and in order it involves nisim lamaylam and ateva. So mezonos, you should realize, is even more of a change in teva than that. Even though, I mean, people make mezonos all the time, people make a living all the time, so you'd think there's nothing special about it, but you should realize, Rabbi Yechanan says, it's actually In terms of changing nature, it's more of a change than that. When it comes to being saved from troubles, Yaakov Avinu says in his brachas, the malach who saved me from every evil, meaning malach ba'alma, all that was necessary was a malach. Hashem himself didn't have to do it. When it comes to earning a living, the expression that Yaakov uses earlier in the previous pasuk is Hashem who shepherds me. So we see it, in other words, it's Hashem himself. So the Maharsha ties this in with the idea that we say in Gemara Tainis, that there are three mafteches, three keys that Hashem never gives over to anybody else, and one of them is the mafteach of parnasa, of gshamim. So that ties in with over here that, so to speak, it's something that Hashem doesn't delegate to anybody else; he does it himself. So in a way, it's a bigger change to the laws of nature than even geula. Okay, continuing on this topic, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, B'shah she'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Adam v'koitz v'dauda tatzmiach lach, when Hashem told Adam that the earth is going to grow for you thorns and thistles after the Chet Eitz Hadas, Zogu Ein of Demois, his eyes started streaming with tears. Amar Lefanav, he says, Ribono Shel Olam, Ani v'chamori noichal be'eros echad, is it supposed to be now that I and my donkey are going to eat out of the same trough, we're going to eat the same kind of food? Which Marsha says it's not just so much that he's worried about the food, but a creature, how what that creature becomes depends on what it eats. You know, that's the expression, you are what you eat. So a donkey eats donkey food and is a donkey and doesn't have any seichel. So Adam Rishon is worried, if I'm going to eat the same food as a donkey or some other kind of animal, then I'm going to remain on the level of an animal. So he was very disturbed by that. Then Hashem told him, "In by the sweat of your face, you'll eat bread." So in other words, you're going to eat bread, which is human food. So then he felt much better. And there's the idea. The Gemara mentions in other places that eating bread, that a child doesn't know how to speak and then say Abba v'Ima until he eats bread. Bread is bread, and grain is associated with Chochma. So once Adam Rishon heard that he's going to be able to eat bread, then he felt better. He knew he's not going to be on the level of an animal. So Rish Lakish says we would be happy if we had stayed with the original situation. There's a couple of different girsos and a couple of different explanations over here. One of them, the girsa that we have in front of us, is that it can mean that Rish Lakish is saying we would have been better off if we had remained in the original state before the Chet Eitz Hadas, where we didn't need to work for a living. That you have everything is growing naturally, and you don't need to do anything. And actually, we haven't been completely freed of that. Because after all, there are certain wild grasses that we still eat. So in other words, according to the gears that we have in front of us, Rish Lakish is saying, halavai, we had been in the situation before the Chet Eitz Hadas, where b'chalal, a person doesn't have to work for a living. But even now, you have a certain vestige of it left, because you have certain plants that you can just easily gather with it, and you don't need a lot of tircha with them. On the other hand, there's a different gears that we're happy that we didn't end up with the first klala, meaning this, that Hashem is saying that which we just said means that you're going to be eating the same food as the animals, which bothered Adam Rishon so much. So Rish Lakish is saying it's a good thing we didn't remain with that, because then, yeah, we'd be on the level of the animals. And then in that girsa, Abaya points out that actually we're not completely free of it, because after all, there are some herbs and grasses that we eat the same way as the animals. But still, on the other hand, we do also eat lachem. Amar of Shizbi Mishmeidir Abalazim and Azariah, Koshim is a noisif shaladim kriyas yamsuf. The mezonus of a person, that a person should make parnasa, is as difficult as kriyas yamsuf. And again, when we say difficult, what do we mean? Hashem is kol yachol. Same thing. In other words, it means that it involves just as much of a changing of the laws of nature as kriyas yamsuf. Because in Kapitel Kuflam Edvav in Halal Agadol, it says over there that Hashem gives food to all flesh. Earlier in that capital, you have where it mentions how Hashem split the sea. Now, Marsha wonders, I mean, you have a lot of other things it mentions in that capital. Why are we singling out that one? Why aren't we saying that Mizonis Shaladim is as great as creating heaven and earth? Why are we singling out Dafka Lagozi Yamsa Fixarim? So Marsha leaves the question open. No, because food grew out from the Yamsuf, interesting point. But we're focusing over here on the Kriyas Yamsuf, on the Nisim that accompanied it. So there's a couple of explanations. Ben Yehoyada says that the vote is all the other nisim that it mentions that Hashem did for the Jewish people in that capital, they're all ones that they were deserving at the time, or at least to a certain extent deserving. As opposed to the Gozer Yamsuf Exorim, we find the Jewish people were rebelling against Hashem at that point. They were saying, as the Gemara is going to say on Amud Beis, that just like we're coming out from this side, Mitzrayim are also going to come out and they're going to chase after us. Before Kriyas Yamsuf, they were saying, Hamabliyin Kvodim Mitzrayim. So like they didn't really deserve it. And Hashem did it anyway, just as Hashem gives Mizonos, even when a person doesn't deserve it. So that would be the connection. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Here's another thing that's as difficult as something else. Koshin nekov of shel adam kiyem amisuv kriyas yamsuv. When a person's openings, when a person has to go to the bathroom and they're not able to, and he's constipated, that's as difficult. It's as harsh for him as yom hamisa, as the day of death, or kriyas yamsuv. And when he's relieved, then it's as great of a ness as kriyas yamsuv. Shenema, you have a pasuk in Yeshaya. Mihar tsoya li paseach. The tsoya hurries to be opened up. Rashbam explains the word tsoya means like closed up. The tsoya with an ayin we have over here means closed up. So therefore, it means when his nekavim are closed up and he's not able to go to the bathroom. Marshall points out it's also the ayin of tsoya is similar to the aleph tsoya with an aleph means excrement, means waste. So you have that connection also. So it hurries to open. Uchtiv basrei. And so that same pasuk continues, v'lo yomos l'shachas, that he won't die and go down to the grave. So we see from that that it's koshim kiyam amisa. Uchtiv basrei. And the next pasuk continues, praising Hashem, roiga hayom, bayehem ugalav, Hashem split the sea and its waves and its waves were crashing. So we see, in other words, that there's a comparison between the kav of shel adam, the miyav tzoya le'paseach, and kriyas yamsuf. Miyav tzoya le'paseach, so that's the thing. So Rashbam explains the word tzoya means something closed up. So therefore, so here, whereas Nekavim are closed up and he's not able to go to the bathroom. And Marsha explains that also the word tzoya with an ayin is like tzoya with an aleph. So therefore, it means waste, means excrement. So that when that opens up, the Gemara is not quoting the rest of the pasuk over here, but it continues v'lo yomos l'shachas, that he won't die and go down to the grave. So therefore, we see the connection between those two things. And the next pasuk after that continues about Hashem. Roiga, this is in Torah Rashalom Yudalad. The next pasuk continues and it mentions about Hashem. Roiga hayam vayehem ugalav, that Hashem split the sea and its waves were crashing. So we see that there's a comparison between miyot tzoya le'paseach and kriyas yamsu. Galav means its waves. The idea is like Hashem stopped the Yamsuf, and so the waves are like Yehemu, they're stirring up and they're crashing this way and that, and they want to be able to break through, but they can't because Hashem split them. So that's referring to Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay. But since we mentioned something that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, so the Gemara continues with a couple of other things that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said. For Omer of Sheshes Meshum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Kolam of Vazes a Moyadus, if a person makes fun of the Moyadus, Kilo Oivid Avadizora. So it's as if he's worshipping Avadizora. Now, what Moyadus do we mean? That Ashbam explains that we mean Cholamoyad, and he does Malacha on Cholamoyad as if it was a regular weekday. So it's as if he's worshipping Avadizora. A different explanation that Amam says that it means Yom Tov itself, means a person who doesn't honor Yom Tov itself with nice clothes and nice food and whatever, he treats it like more like a regular weekday. So then, ke'ilo avid abadazara, shenema, and we know this because the pasuk says, elekei masecha loy sasaloch, uchtib basre, that you don't make for yourselves cast idols, uchtib basre, and the next pasuk continues, es chaga matzis tishmer, keep chaga matzis. And in fact, the Rashbam explains, that pasuk, es chaga matzis tishmer, doesn't just mean to keep Pesach as far as chometz and matzah and whatever, we also learn from it in the Gemara, in Masechta Chagiga, that's how we know that you're also to do malacha chalamoyed. So therefore, there's a direct connection between that and the previous pasuk that elokei masecha lo yisasaloch. So if a person is over on one, it's as if he's over on the other. There is, by the way, when we get to Masechta Moed Katan, Bez Hashem, which talks about the dinim of doing malacha on chalamoyed, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about the many of the Rishonim learn that the issur of malacha on chalamoyed itself is daraisa, but the parameters, what exactly is also and mutter, were established by the Chacham. In other words, this would be one of those rare cases where the Torah tells us a mitzvah and leaves it up to the Chachamim to define the details. The Amen of Sheshis Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Kolam Asapra Lashon Hara, anybody who speaks Lashon Hara, V'cholam Akabal Lashon Hara, or anybody who accepts it and believes it. Now, the Rashbam explains, the Gemara does mention in Nida that you're not supposed to, you should be choshish for it. So, for example, you have the story over there where it says that people came to the Tarfon and were asking him to help them hide because there was a rumor going around that they had killed people. So he says, I can't hide you because I might get in trouble, but I'm not believing that you're murderers, but nevertheless, the mechash mibaya, I have to be concerned that I'm going to be in danger for abetting you. So go hide yourselves. So we see there is an inyan that when a person hears lashon hara about somebody, to be choshish, maybe it is true, and take appropriate steps to be careful, but not to actually believe it. So here we're talking about where he actually believes it. We learned that in Nida last year. Yeah. Okay. So anybody who accepts Lashon Hara and believes it, also somebody who gives false witness against somebody else in Beis Din, so all of those things, he deserves to be thrown to the dogs. So the Pasuk says that tray for meat you throw to the dogs, the next Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim continues, don't bear a false report. You can also read the pasuk, you can also read the word loisisa as loisasi, don't cause somebody else to believe a false report, which is giving false edus in Beis Din. Rashbam says you don't even have to be goyis that actually, because loisisa shem ashrav automatically includes not to speak lashon hara and not to give false edus. So you don't really need the loisasi, but whatever. One explanation is, what's the connection? The dogs didn't bark when we left Mitzrayim. That's why their reward, that's one reason why their reward is to be given the tray for meat. So the dogs knew how to control their mouths. So this person who doesn't control his mouth, he's worse than the dogs. Okay. Getting back to Halal HaGadol, we said earlier on the Omud, we explained that Halal HaGadol is called that because of Noisin Lechem L'Chabasa. And that's when, and we say that now, we say that in Shabbos morning davening, and we say it at the end of the Seder. So, given that you have Halal HaGadol, and it's so much greater because of Noisim Lechem Mechobosar, and Nan Mai Taimer Amin and Hai, then why do we say the other Halal? Why do we say, when we learned yesterday, that Halal, that the Nevi'im made a takana that Alkol Perek V'Perek, every Yom Tov, and every Tzora Shalai Tova Al HaTzibur, then you say Halal afterwards. So why Halal HaMitzri, namely the Halal that we say on Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodesh, why that one, the Tekona should have been that we always just say Halal HaGadol. What's so great about Halal HaMitzri? It's called Halal HaMitzri because it starts by talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what's so great about that one instead of Halal HaGadol? The answer is Mishum Sheyesh Behei Dvarim Alalu. Yes, but Halal HaMitzri, the big Halal, has five advantages in it. It has five things that Halal HaGadol doesn't so much focus on or discusses them in more detail. Yetzias Mitzrayim, or Kriyas Yamsuf, or Matan Torah, or Tchias HaMesim, Bechevle Shal Mashiach. Those five things are all mentioned or referred to in Halal, in Halal HaMitzri. So when we say, no, so what it is like this. Halal HaMitzri is the one that we say on Rosh Chodesh and on Yom Tov. There's Chatzi Halal, which we say on Rosh Chodesh and the last 6 days of Pesach, where we leave out certain parts. But that it's still the same Halal, we're just leaving out certain parts. But that is Kapitel Kuf Yud Gimel through Kuf Yud Ches of Tilim. It's called Halal HaMitzri. Separately, Halal HaGadol, which is what we say Shabbos morning, and at the end of the Seder, Hodul Hashem Kitov, Kilam Chasto, Hodul Elokei Elokim Kilam Chasto, is called Halal HaGadol, for the reason that we said before, because it says Noisim Lechem L'Chabasa. Right. And it's called Halal because it's praise of Hashem, and it's HaGadol because we're praising Hashem for the great thing of giving everybody the food they need. So, but Halal HaMitzri contains these five themes. Yetzias Mitzrayim dechtiv b'tesis yom Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf dechtiv ayom rov ayonos, the sea saw and it split and it ran away. Matan Torah dechtiv ahorim rokdu chayelim, it says the mountains danced like rams. That's referring to by Matan Torah when the mountains all came to argue that each one was arguing the Torah should be given on me. So they're dancing around and jumping around over there from one place to another. So therefore, that's referred to in Halal. He says, I will walk before Hashem in the land of the living, but I would say Sachaim in the lands of the living, refers to Olam Haba, refers to refers to Tchias HaMesim. And Chevelay Shamashiach Tichtiv Loy Lanu Hashem Loy Lanu, because we say, don't do it for our sake, Hashem, do it for your sake. This refers to when we're subjugated by the various Goyishan nations, where we're asking Hashem to please take us out of this galus, not for our sake, because maybe we don't deserve it, but for his sake in order to prevent the chil Hashem. So there you go, that it refers to Mohammed's Gogomagog, that we're pleading with Hashem to save us from the tsaris of Mohammed's Gogomagog, Lo Lanu, not for our sake, but for the sake of Hashem's name. So there shouldn't be a Chilul Hashem. And therefore, so we see that Mohammed's Gogomagog and Chevle Mashiach are referred to in Hallel, and these are important things of Amunah, and therefore the Nevi'im made a takana that we should say Hallel. Okay. Reb Nachman Yitzchok Amar, "Mipnei sheyesh bein milut nefoshes shel tzaddikim begehenim." Another reason to say halal mitzri is because it has the important theme about the neshamas of tzaddikim being saved from gehenim. Shenema ona Hashem malta nafshi, as the pasuk says, "Please Hashem, save my soul." So that's a very important thing to stress, that you shouldn't think, for example, that maybe everybody ends up in gehenim, as certain other religions think or whatever. So therefore, it has to be stressed that no, the tzaddikim have a schar la'asid lava, and they're saved from gehenim, and that's an important point that we need to stress. Another important theme that you have in Hallel, it talks about how the tzaddikim, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, went into the fiery furnace and how they came out of it, how Hashem brought them out of there, b'derech nes. So that's an important theme that we need to always remember. When it starts off by saying, Loy lanu Hashem loy lanu. Now, Marsha explains, in those first few psukim of that capital, you seem to have a lot of repetitiousness. Loy lanu Hashem, loy lanu. Al chastecha, al amitecha. So therefore, so the Gemara understands that each of them said one part of that. So, Loy lanu Hashem, loy lanu, omer Chananya. So he started by saying, don't do for our sake, Hashem, because we may not deserve it, but do it for your sake. When he continues, do it, give glory to your own name. That Mishal said, Al chastecha b'alamitecha, because of your chesed and because of your truth, Omer Azariah. And the next pasuk, Lama Yemir Agoyim, Omer Kulan, all of them said that together. Why should the Goyim say, where is Hashem? And therefore do a nest for us. So therefore, so Hallel talks about them going into the furnace and the tefillah that they said at that time. And Al Yosin, the Kivshan Aish. And where do we see that? It refers to them coming out of the fire, Dichtiv, because later on, Hallelujah Hashem Ko Goyim. So again, Hallelujah Hashem Ko Goyim Omer Chananya. Again, you have a certain repetitiousness over there. So when it says Hallelujah Hashem Ko Goyim, all nations, praise Hashem. Chananya said that. You see this tremendous nest that we got out of the fire. So all of you nations praise Hashem. And in fact, in the psukim over there, Nebuchadnezzar does that. He praises and then talks about how great Hashem is. In fact, so much so, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that he would have said greater praises than David HaMelech did, and a Malach had to come and slap him on the face to stop him. So Shabchu Kala Omim Omim Mishael. Mishael continued by saying, All nations pray, all peoples praise him. Ki Gover Alenu Chaster Omer Azariah. Azariah continues, Hashem's kindness was powerful over us. And the Emes Hashem La'olam Halleluka Omer Kulan, and all of them continued, the truth of Hashem is forever Halleluka. So therefore, again, so we see that in Hallel, it refers to them being thrown into the furnace and their tefillah then, and the tefillah of thanks that they said when they came out. So therefore, Reb Nachman Yitzchok is saying that's a very important, and not Reb Nachman Yitzchok, Chizki is saying that's a very important point to always remember, and therefore that's the importance of Hallel HaMitzri. I guess we're going to say Hallel, yeah. I'm definitely going to say Hallel different. Yeah. V'yesh omrim v'emes Hashem la'olam gavriel omrim. Yesh omrim, on the other hand, that the part v'emes Hashem la'olam, that actually Gavriel said it. Now, the Pasuk mentions over there, when Hanani, Mishael, Azariah were in the fire, that Nebuchadnezzar all of a sudden looks and he's astonished. And he says, we threw three people into the fire. All of a sudden, I see there are four people in there, and all of them are walking around without their chains, without not tied up, and they're safe inside the fire. Who's the fourth? Is Malach Gavriel. So Yesh Omim, that Malach Gavriel came and said the Pasuk, the Emes Hashem Olam. So what happened? We have to go back a long time to understand the background. 1,000 and more years earlier, when Nimrod Arasha threw Avram Avinu into the fiery furnace, Omer Gavriel of Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu. So Gavriel says to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, Ered v'atzanin, let me go down and cool off the fire, v'atzel of the tzaddik mekivshan esh, and I'll save the tzaddik from the fiery furnace. Omer lefan, Omer lo Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu, but Hashem says to Gavriel, no, ani yochid ba'olami v'hu yochid ba'olami, I'm unique in my world, he is unique in his world, because he's the only person at this time who is teaching anybody about that there's an Eivish there. So therefore, so it's appropriate that the Yachid should save the Yachid. So I will save him personally rather than delegating it to you, Gavriel. Now Hashem does not hold back the reward that any creature deserves. So even Malach Gavriel, being a Malach, he still deserves a certain reward for that he wanted to save Avraham Avinu. So therefore, Omar, so Hashem tells him, Tiske v'tatzel shloish v'mbanav, you will have the schus to save three of Avraham Avinu's descendants. So now, fast forward 1,300 years later, Dorash of Shimon Ashiloni, B'shar Shehippel, Nebuchadnezzar, HaRosha, Hanani, Mishal V'Azayah, will say, Chivshanesh, and now when Nebuchadnezzar, HaRosha, threw Hanani, Mishal V'Azayah into the furnace, Omar Yurkumu Sara Bora Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yurkumu, the Sar, the Malach in charge of hail, stood in front of Hashem. Omalafonov, he says, Ribbono Shelem, Ered Vatsan and Esakivshan, let me go down and cool off the furnace with my power of hail, which is ice after all. Va'atzel tzedekim alo, let me kivshan esh, save these tzedekim from the fire. Omale Gavriel, but Gavriel says to Yurkumu, now, Ein Gvoras Yeshal HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'kach, that won't highlight the power of Hashem. She'ata sar barad, because after all, you're the sar of ice, of hail. Ba'akol yodim, shamayim mechab mesesh. Everybody knows that water puts out fire. So if you all of a sudden make a big hailstorm come, it's not going to be obvious that it was such a mess. People are going to say, okay, it happens. It hails sometimes. Ela, ani sar shal esh. No, what's going to happen is I'm the sar of fire. Ered va'akarer mimufnim. I will go and cool off the fire on the inside. So Hanani Mishov Azariah are not burnt and they're comfortable in there. Va'akdiach mibachutz. And I will heat up the fire on the outside to burn the goyim who threw them into the fire. In fact, the Pasuk mentions over there that a flame of fire came and burnt and burnt the people who had thrown them in. Yeah. So the es and nes, seich nes, and that way it'll be a nes inside of a nes. In fact, it's interesting also, besides that the Pasuk spells out and says over there that a flame of fire burnt the people, the soldiers who threw them in, also earlier in the Pasukim, when it's describing how Nebuchadnezzar is gathering together all the nations and all the officials and all, it mentions seven different kinds of nations or seven different kinds of officials who are going to come and bow down to the statue. Later on, it only mentions three of them, implying that four of them were burnt by the fire. So therefore, it's going to be a nest inside of a nest, says Gabriel. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Reid. So Hashem tells him, good, go down and do that. At that point, Gavriel started by saying, the truth of Hashem is forever. Hashem promised me that 1,300 years ago, and now he didn't forget about it, and he fulfilled that promise now and had me save the three tzaddikim that are descended from Avraham Avinu. Now, so why does he have to argue to Yurkumu and say that I have to go down because it'll be a nes v'seich nes? Why does he just refer to Hashem's promise? One possibility is maybe Yurkumu didn't know about it. Another possibility is that, after all, Hashem didn't tell him you're going to save Hanani, Mishal, Vazalia. He just told him you're going to save three tzaddikim. Okay, so in some future generation, there's going to be three tzaddikim in a fire. But now Hashem decided that now is the time to pay back Gavriel and allow him to save them. So therefore, yeah. Okay. Rav Nosson has a different explanation that this pasuk, the emes Hashem la'olam, was said by the fish in the sea. And this works out like what Rav Huna said. The Jewish people at that time, by Kriyas Yamzuf, had very little emuna. And how do we see that? As we see that Rabba Bam Mori Daushin, so what does it mean they rebelled against Hashem by the Yamzuf? What was the rebellion? Means even after Kriyas Yamzuf, the Jewish people were still rebelling against Hashem. But Omru, when they said, just as we're coming out on one side, the Mitzrayim are going to come out on another side, and they're going to still chase after us. There's a famous thing. Tosfos points out in Erechin that Kriyas Yamzuf, the sea split in a semicircle. So they're actually coming out on the same side of the Yamzuf as they started out on, just further up the shore. So some of them were concerned that all of this nest, but still, the Mitzrayim are still going to come chasing after us. So Hashem tells the Malach of the sea, throw them out onto the dry land. Like this, normally they would sink and the fish would be able to eat their bodies. Now, like this, throw them out onto the dry land so the Jewish people can take a see they're dead. How could there be an Eved whose master gives him a present, like you gave me all these bodies that now the fish in me can enjoy them, and now you're going to take it back? Hashem tells him, I will give you 1.5 times as many as them, as we'll see the Cheshbon soon. So the Sarsha Yam says, Rabbi Shalom, Yesh Eved Shetiveyas, Rabbi, how can an Eved have the breitkeit to go and demand payment from his master? So yeah, you're telling me that you're going to pay me back, but am I going to have the chutzpah to come to you and say, I haven't been paid back, you know? Hashem says, Nachal Kishon Yeheli Orev. Fine, Nachal Kishon in the north of Eretz Yisrael will be the guarantor. Now, normally, by the way, Marsha points out, you can't go to the Orev first, but you have an Orev Kablon where you could demand payment from the Orev Kablon first before you even go to the Loiva. So therefore, in that sense, like the sea can go to Nachal Kishon and say, "Nu, where's my 1.5 times as many?" Miyad Polotos and Leabosha. So right away, the sea, the Yamsuf, threw out the bodies of the Mitzrayim onto the dry land. Uvo Yisrael, Vero Oisim, and the Jewish people were able to come and see them. Shenem, Vayav Yisrael, so time, Mesa Sfasayam. They saw them dead by the seashore, and then they said Shira. So my echad mechza shebehem. So what's the 1.5 times as many? When did Hashem fulfill His promise? So like this, the ilu b'parik siv sheish meis rechad bachur. By pare it says that there were 600 hand-picked chariots, the best of his army. The ilu b'sisra siv Sisra, a couple hundred years later, by the war with Devora and Barak, it says chameis rechad bazel. He had 900 iron chariots. So 1.5 times as many. By the way, I mean by Pare, it also says v'chir rechav Mitzrayim, that they had all the other chariots of Mitzrayim. But by Sisra also, even though the pasuk doesn't specify, the idea would be there were 900 main chariots, and then there were a whole bunch of auxiliary ones. So it still works out. So what happened? What happened in the war with Sisra? How did Nachal Kishon accomplish what it was supposed to do? Ki osa Sisra, when Sisra came to fight against the Jewish people, osa alayu b'dekori d'parzala, he came against them with iron weapons. Dekori literally means things that pierce. So piercing weapons made out of iron. So Hashem brought out the stars from their paths in the sky to fight against Sisra and his army. As the pasuk says, the stars fought against Sisra. So how did they fight? The stars from the heavens started coming down towards Sisra's army. Tosfos explains that the stars, they one end of them stayed up in Shemayim and then they extended downwards towards the earth in order that they're heating up where the area where Sisra's army is. So with the heat, and they had metal weapons. So akdiru hani dekori depauzala. So now these iron weapons and whatever are getting heated up. So the soldiers are finding it uncomfortable. Nechisu lakruri. So they went to cool off. Lemischi nafshayu b'nachal kishon, to go bathe in Nachal Kishon and cool off. Omalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Nachal Kishon leich v'hashlem ervoincha. So now Hashem tells Nachal Kishon, it's time. Go pay off your arevus. Miyad grofam Nachal Kishon, right away Nachal Kishon swept them up, v'yishlicham nayam, and threw their dead bodies into the sea. Shenema Nachal Kishon grofam, as the pasuk says in Shiras Devora, Nachal Kishon swept them away. And then the pasuk continues, Nachal Kishon grofam Nachal Kedumim, the ancient stream. So my Nachal Kishon, my Nachal Kedumim, why are we calling it the ancient stream, means Nachal Shenasa Orev Mikedem, means that from a long time ago, from 200 years earlier, it was already an Orev that one day it's going to do this. So I mean, it's all seas are connected. I mean, the sea that the Yidden crossed, you know, whether it was the Red Sea or whether it was some part of the Mediterranean, different people you ask will tell you different answers. This the Kishon flows into the Mediterranean, but in the case they're all under the Sar Shel Yam, so it still works out. At that point, the fish started saying, the truth of Hashem is forever, that again, he made this promise 200 years ago, and he didn't forget about it, and he kept it now. Marsha says, by the way, and we'll stop over here, but Marsha says doesn't mean actually the fish. Fish don't speak. It can mean the malach of the fish. Right. Mepasha is also the same fish that were around by Matan Torah, long dead, right? But it means the malach of the fish, Marsha says. Okay. Yeah.